Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The Preds are still on their longest road trip of the season, are coming off a huge win over the defending Stanley Cup champions. We're going to preview this weekend's game, talking to ESPN hockey writer Greg Wyszynski about the new TV deal with ESPN. We'll also talk to AP reporter Teresa Walker. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee, with great furniture in stock and ready for immediate delivery. And of course, the man, Carter Church, with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Brent and Zach, hey, they're off tonight. They decided they're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So you know what? I had to go get a co-host that I knew would not let St. Patrick's Day get in the way. He is the man. He's a very familiar voice to Pred fans. Thrilled to welcome him to Slapshot Radio. Finally, Jeremy K. Gover. Jeremy, welcome to Slapshot Radio. Glad to have you.
Paul, thank you so much. You know, on a other iteration of this show, this was my first radio appearance, was on Slapshot Radio way back in the day. So
way back in the day on another radio station. Yeah, absolutely. Like the first or second year. That's correct. Well, we waited way too long to bring you back on. That's for darn sure. So Jeremy, catch us up a little bit. I know that you kind of stepped away from full-time coverage of the Nashville Predators, but you know, like a bad penny, you keep on turning up at Bridgestone Arena. What's going on with you right now?
So I did retire from 102.5 The Game and thegamenational.com, and as well as the Predators Radio Network. After last year, I made no secret about that coming into the season. Of course, right. I didn't think that a international pandemic would be the reason why.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but here we are. And so my last game, I think, was on March 7th, 8th, whatever the game of the Dallas was that year. Anyway, and so that'd be my last game, and I tried to go to Edmonton for the bubble. That was the idea. I was going to do that, but I was warned by several people that the border might not be able to get across the border, or if I get there, I can't come back. And I was like, well, I kind of have a full-time job. I can't really do that. Anyway, so long story short is I didn't go, which was heartbreaking because I wanted to end my season with in-person hockey.
Sure.
Even though the experience wouldn't be the same. And I just hung it up. And so I decided not to come back this year. But I kept my toe in the water, so to speak. I've been the Nashville correspondent for AP Radio for the past, I think it's 8 or 9 years now. And so I've done Titans games, and I've done SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, you know, Predators games, obviously, as they've asked me to do them. And so I got the chance to do 3 Preds games this year. AP Radio wanted them, and so got to do it. Luckily, the PR people, you know, Nick, Emily, and Kevin, they welcomed me back, and they didn't let me relinquish my bobblehead, which I have right here with me.
Well, that's
so I appreciate
good.
That. Appreciate that, because it was a parting gift, and so they probably didn't expect to see me that soon. But anyway, so I'm doing the NCAA tournament regionals coming up here pretty soon, remotely.
Excellent.
For AP Radio, so I'm excited. So I'm still have my toe in the water, Paul, but you gave a good analogy, but let me give an even better one. You see a lot of teachers who love the classroom retire from teaching after 30, 35 years, whenever their retirement kicks in.
Right.
But they still go back and like they're the librarian, or they work with special needs kids, or
yep,
you know, whatever the part-time gig is, right? And that's kind of how I think of it. Is like, yeah, I retired from full-time teaching air quotes for radio.
Yeah.
But I still have my toe in the water because I miss it so much.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, with your lovely family and everything, I mean, you want to spend some more time with you with your guy McGillney and all that. So, Jeremy, let's turn our attention to the Nashville Predators, because I know that you've continued to follow the team, that you've continued to, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, get that out of your system. What are your thoughts on this team right now? I mean, this is a, you know, real Dickens of a team, best of times, worst of times type thing.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Paul, because this team, I've tweeted about this. I used to say write about this, but I haven't been writing. I tweeted about this a while back, and I've made no secret about it. This this team with guys like Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, right? This roster is built maybe not to contend for a cup, although, again, you get in and anything can happen. But I would argue that they are absolutely a playoff team. On paper, if you look at this roster and what their resumes boast, you would say, yeah, I mean, this is a playoff team. And so, therefore, when they've been playing poorly or they've been struggling to put a full 60 minutes together, it's infuriating because you think they should be better, but they're not better. Now, I'll give you this, though. The last couple games, even against Tampa, even in the loss, even in the 6-3 loss, they looked a lot better. I mean, they looked more like they probably should in those games, and that was promising. But they're also dealing with, 8 injuries, I think, at the time. So it's almost like they're so young, Paul, they don't know any better. It's like has like that kind of flavor to it. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. We'll see.
I kind of like the idea because, look, you know, I have been dying for Elie Tolvanen to get into this lineup, you know, almost since the day he was drafted, and, you know, give the Predators full marks for giving him the patience to develop his complete game. But when you look at a Tolvanen right now and how he's playing, you can't pull him out of the lineup. To me, I still don't understand why Yakov Trenin is not an absolute staple in this lineup. And that's kind of when I look at the frustrating things, you know, the injuries are one thing. Those are going to happen. And right now, this team is the walking wounded, for heaven's sakes. But you're starting to see the elements of a successful team, to your point, Jeremy. And I'm not trying, you know, look, you know, I don't want to say, oh, wow, they just beat Tampa. Everything's wonderful, because it's not.
No.
Okay. No. But, you know, one of the things we tend to forget in football country, that a 56 game season, one loss doesn't kill you. One win doesn't put you in. But the runway is so incredibly short right now. When you've got less than 2.5 weeks away from the trade deadline. But you're looking at this team and going, okay, they've got a game in hand, and they're only 8 points behind a team that they play 6 more times this year, and that is the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't think Chicago ends up in that 4 spot. It could be Columbus. It could be Dallas. It could be Nashville. I think Nashville is probably the longer shot. Dallas still has 5 games in hand with all the problems that they had from a weather perspective and COVID perspective.
They couldn't play any games, it seemed like, for a while.
It seems like every time, you know, you can't swing a dead cat without seeing a Dallas Stars game, for heaven's sakes. So, I mean, when you look at that, I mean, this team is not, and I'm trying not to be Pollyanna here, this team is not out of it. But, you know, it's time to go on a run. Do you use that big win over Tampa as a springboard to start going on a run? Because, I mean, let's face it, you get another, 4 out of 6 points remaining on this road trip, you've survived a murderer's row of a schedule.
I don't disagree. So for those who don't know or aren't looking at the calendar at the moment, it's Florida tomorrow night in Florida, Florida on Saturday in Florida, and then Dallas in Dallas on Sunday. So you have a back-to-back set there, even though there's not exactly 24 hours, like 32 hours in between games. Right. And then you have a home stand against Detroit for a couple games, and then you have the home stand that Paul mentioned against Chicago in Chicago, and then you're back against Detroit. That closes out March. So are those winnable games? Yes. But I tend to... I'm with you, Paul. This team, again, I just said it earlier, is made up like it's an absolute playoff team on paper. Mm-hmm. You bring in Luke Cunningham, you bring in Nick Cousins, you bring in Richardson. These guys aren't going to, they're not going to, blow your socks off, score 20 goals or anything. But you bring Eric Holla, who's been a tremendous penalty killer. But you bring in these guys to kind of fill in the edges, right? To fill in the pieces.
And bring an edge.
Yes. And the opposite is happening. Not for those players in particular. I just mean in general. Right. The team is not a one guy away from a deep playoff run or anything. Like all the solution should be in the room. And I truly believe that the solution is in the room. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's not clicking overall. Like, it is a body of work. And so it's a long-winded way of saying that I need to see more. You played well against Tampa, even in the 6-3 loss. You beat Tampa, and you played well in that game as well. And you seem to have a more consistent effort in both those games, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's great. But can you do it against Florida? Can you go to Detroit and dominate? Can you knock off Dallas on that Sunday off the back-to-backs, which is a team that's kind of had your number, right? Mm-hmm. Now, once you do those things, let's say they split Florida, they beat Dallas, and they blast Detroit 7-0 and 5-1 or something like that, right? Now you have my attention. Now I start to believe again. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they've not given the fan base any reason to believe that even if they were to squeak in to that fourth spot, that they could do anything against Tampa.
Or Florida.
And that is the issue.
Yep. No
right,
question.
Yeah, that's the issue.
No question about it. Well, we are just getting started here on Slapshot Radio. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, what a great staff. Just a great environment, safe, comfortable. They do make it so easy to get your dental needs taken care of. You know what? They take care of my teeth. They take care of Zach's teeth. They really are outstanding when it comes down to the things you need for good oral health. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. Don't forget the 615 in front of it. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Kenny on the wheels of steel going back to the 80s. My heavens, Dr. Fielder. It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann coming at you. Special guest host Jeremy K. Gover with us tonight. Do want to talk to you just a little bit about our friend Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. Now, Carter, I've known him as we've worked together for the Predators, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen how Carter's over 20 years of media and marketing experience have driven his proven success as a real estate professional. Now, you need Carter on your team, so call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, you got to call Carter today. And you know what, Jeremy, I think our next guest may have, if he was moving to Nashville, probably would have called Carter. But after moving all the way to the West Coast, he has now moved back to the East Coast. Good friend of the show, welcoming back Greg Wyszynski. Greg, how are things in your world? Do you still have boxes or are they finally unpacked?
No, most of them are unpacked. There's a few that aren't. Also, you know, when you move from one place to the other, you are, of course, dealing with a differently sized apartment. So we're kind of like rearranging life to see what we need and don't need. But it's good to be back. You know, I miss the start times for games, I think, on the West Coast. That was a luxury. But New York is home, and we're happy to be back here.
Well, and obviously you're going to be being used a lot more starting with next year. The big news last week, the signing of a 7-year deal between the National Hockey League and ESPN. You've got to be really, really excited about that one.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, like I've been telling people, the greatest thing about this rights deal is that a lot of the things that, you know, I've wanted to do maybe will happen now. It's tough when you're not a rights holder. Not only does it sort of rearrange priorities for the place you work as far as, you know, where they put resources, but, you know, there's a lot of doors that are closed to you just overall if you don't have that kind of access. So I think life will change in a pretty exciting way, insofar as like what we're able to do in coverage and in the ideas that we have and things like that. But the biggest thing for me is twofold with this deal. First, like I've been saying for years, even before I started working at ESPN, the idea that the NHL had a monolithic rights deal in the US was stupid. The NBA, MLB, NFL, they all spread their wealth through different networks. I love the fact that the NHL is on ESPN. I love the fact even more it's going to be on another place too. It's only good for the sport. And the other thing is that I'm just super happy for the folks at my place that kept the flame alive for a long time. Your Linda Cohens and Steve Levy's and John Butchigrass's and Barry Melrose's and so many other people that you don't know behind the scenes, that the first time I went to Bristol, I walked in and saw a bunch of Whalers and Bruins and even Predators gear in the newsroom. There's a ton of hockey fans that work at ESPN, and I just can't be happy enough for all of them that have been waiting for this moment, myself included.
We are on the line with ESPN.com hockey writer and soon to be ESPN's replacement for Don Cherry. I think it's coming. I really do. It's Greg Wyszynski. Hey, Jeremy K. Gover, you got a question for Greg?
I do. Greg, first of all, it's good to talk to you again.
Hey.
The thing I miss the most, by the way, about growing up in California is the early puck drops and kickoffs and all that stuff. Getting up on a Saturday morning and seeing college football kickoff at 9:30 was awesome. So I know everything you're saying.
Oh yeah.
When you look at this Predators team, let's call it on paper. Okay. So you think, you know, Johansson's a former 60 point guy, you know, Duchesne obviously is a former 70 point guy, et cetera, all the way down the line, right? How special Philip Forsberg is, Roman Josi wins a Norris, blah, 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 blah. From a national perspective, this is a playoff caliber team, maybe not a cup contending team, but a playoff caliber team, correct?
Well, it's a playoff caliber team in that division. You know, if you look at what the Florida Panthers have been able to accomplish, for example, they've beaten the teams they should beat, because once you get past Tampa and Carolina, I think you have a lot of sameness. But you also have, you know, some teams that could maybe punch above their weight, the Panthers being one, Dallas being another, and the Predators being, you know, the third, I think, in that mix. That they haven't is disappointing. You know, I think the roster is not the perfect construction, to be honest with you. You know, Johansson and Duchesne, I think at best are probably 2A centers, second line centers at this point, even though Johansson in the past has been a reliable first liner. I think that's more the product of being on a really good line than driving the line himself. Their supporting cast is sort of middling, and their goaltending has proven to be unreliable, I think would be the word I would use this season. So, you know, should it be a playoff team? In theory, maybe, just because I think they're a shade better than some of the other middling teams in that division. But I think it's both a problem with coaching, as the system has shown it can't provide the offense necessary in this league in 2021 to succeed, and in construction, in the sense that David Poile built a team, kept it together, and there's been diminishing returns on that group.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up coaching in there, because obviously, I mean, you know, Pred Nation is pretty frustrated right now. I mean, this is a frustrating team to watch in some respects. A lot of blame being placed on the coach. You watch this coach in, you know, being a Devils fan and being up there, you watch this coach in New Jersey. What are we not seeing from this coach's systems in Nashville that we should be seeing?
I mean, you're seeing what I saw. I mean, it's not a mystery. That's why we were all like, why'd you hire him? During his time in New Jersey, the Devils were 29th in goals per game. Okay. During his entire span there. And there were some pretty bad teams he coached, and there were some okay teams, and there were some pretty okay, you know, players that he had there. By no means were these teams offensive juggernauts. I think you could say he has more offensive talent to work with in Nashville, and the Predators are currently 27th overall in goals per game. So, you know, 29th in Jersey with garbage offensively on the roster for the most part, and then 27th in Nashville where there's a bit more offense to have. To me, this is a system problem. You know, it clearly is. I think there's proof of concept right now that John Hines, despite being a very cool dude I think an effective coach at maybe other levels has a system that he plays in this league that does not generate offense on a consistent basis and on a basis where it needs to be in a league where clearly teams are scoring at a higher rate than we've seen, you know, in previous decades, or I should say probably for the last decade. Now, offense is down a tick this year, but it's still been a four-year trend of goal scoring being at a premium in this league, and his teams don't score.
So, Greg, you've seen in your illustrious career, you've seen plenty of examples of teams that were supposed to, let's say, contend for a cup and barely made it in the playoffs and then got bounced, or teams that were supposed to make the playoffs but then were just terrible. And there's always a domino effect. And so, taking into consideration that John Hines barely has 100 games, I don't even know if he even has 100 games under his belt yet, as far as Predators go. And then on top of that, taking into account David Poile's staying power and providing the club with what he thought they needed, meaning more weapons and maybe not an elite scorer, but certainly a bunch of second line guys, right, for depth scoring. Taking all those things into account, based on your perspective and what you've experienced around this league, what do you think the domino effect is for a team like this going forward?
It's a great question. So I think it's one of three things. The first thing is that Hines and Poile come back next season, and this season is treated as an anomaly because it's 56 games, because it's within its own division. There are going to be a lot of teams that might not get the results they want this year that are going to have to just, you know, swallow the bile and push forward because you don't want to overreact to a season that's unprecedented. And you know, you've got a full season next year, and let's see what happens. Or it could be a situation where David Poile goes upstairs, another Poile takes over as general manager, and then maybe, you know, Hines is still the head coach, or maybe not. Or this disparate collection of owners you guys have in Nashville come together and say, you know what, maybe it's time for regime change. And then instead of getting kicked upstairs, Poile's out. Brian Poile's out, new GM comes in, and then obviously you're going to have a new coach to go along with that GM. So I think it's one of those three scenarios. I don't quite know which one is the clubhouse leader, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Poile and Hines come back next year if there isn't an appetite to quickly hit the reset button from, again, the disparate collection of owners that are behind this team.
It's an interesting point that you make, Greg. I got time for one more quick question. What do you think happens in Buffalo now? They get rid of Kruger and who everyone thought was just a phenomenal hire. What happens with the Sabres, for heaven's sakes? I mean, you know, it's like, if you want to feel better about being a Preds fan, look at Buffalo.
Well, first of all, we were all wrong. He's not a good coach. We all were very excited because we liked talking to him, and we all got very excited because he wasn't a traditional hire. We were all rooting very hard for him to be good, but he's not. And that's on us for not having processed that maybe after his first 2 years as a coach in this league. Where does Buffalo go next? What do they do next? From a managerial standpoint, it's a great question. I know that there are a lot of whispers out there that Jim Rutherford could be the guy who goes there and tries to fix things to be reunited with a player of his in Kevin Adams. But then it comes down to what is the money for him and what is the autonomy for him or for anybody that comes in, considering the meddling that's gone on with the Pegulas there. But the biggest question about that organization and what is going to determine the next steps of Sabres hockey history will be if Jack Eichel wants to leave. And if he wants to leave, then you've got to trade him. And if you trade him, then it could be a very, very interesting offseason with a number of different teams offering up incredible bounties that can certainly replenish your roster in an interesting way going forward. But it's going to really come down to what Eichel wants. If he wants out, you trade him. If he wants to stay, maybe you still trade him, you know, because you clearly have a team that has to kind of go into yet another phase of rebuilding, based on what's going on there.
He is on ESPN.com, the hockey writer extraordinaire and good friend of the show. Greg, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We certainly appreciate you and hope to have you back come playoff time, okay?
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Greg Wyszynski from ESPN.com, and we will be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Steel. He's kind of going through the decades. I kind of like it. You know, he's kind of staying in the 80s right now.
Got to take you back a little bit.
I noticed. So, Jeremy, I want to talk a little bit more about the situation in Buffalo. It seems to be, you wonder at that point, is this ownership now? Is it the general manager? I mean, you know, what do they need to do in Buffalo now?
You know, it's a good question, Paul, because Buffalo is, I got some stats for you. We'll start there. Okay. They are 0-10-2 in their last 12. That is the opposite of good.
Yeah.
They have 2 wins in their last 19 games. Also the opposite of good. And in those 19 games, they're averaging 1.73 goals per game. Which means no matter if you have Tuukka Rask, or excuse me, Tim Thomas at Vezina Trophy level, you're still not winning. That's what that means. So it's not good. And that's, you know, again, you don't look at that roster and be like, oh, hey, playoff team necessarily, right?
You know
but you
what?
Do have
Actually,
Sam Reinhart, you have Eichel, you got Taylor Hall, you got Eric
yes.
Staal, an aging Eric Staal, you got Dahlin, who's supposed to be the second coming on defense. Casey Mittelstadt, I got to see him play in college personally, and he's great. Jeff Skinner, I mean, what?
You've got some tools there. I mean, honestly, I saw them as a dark horse for the playoffs, and I mean, I really did preseason, and you know, and Brent and Zach will not let me forget that I did call that. But I mean, this was completely unexpected to me. To Greg Wyszynski's point, I thought Kruger was a much better head coach than he turned out to be, at least in this organization. But for something like this, you got to start looking at the culture of the organization, not necessarily of the GM, not necessarily of the coach, but what is the environment of that organization? And that team's in trouble. That franchise is in trouble, and they are wasting a generational talent in Jack Eichel.
I agree. And I don't fault Jack Eichel at all.
No, not
if
at all.
If he wants to move on, there's been a lot of rumors that he has. The guy has played 1, 2, 3, 4, my California public school math says 6 seasons. And so he's played 6 seasons in the league. That is more than enough time for them to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning the team.
No
so
question.
It's not on him if he wants to leave.
And, you know, and it's funny because he's at that point now where he has to look and say, all right, you know, I'm 6 seasons in, another 6, 7, 8 seasons. Is it going to take that long in Buffalo?
Right.
And if you look at the history of this team, I mean, when's the last time the Sabres were truly competitive?
A Maxim Afinaginov years, probably. And that's right.
Yeah. I mean,
Paul Gostad, Maxim Afinaginov.
You're going back 10, 12 years minimum.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, you've got a fan base in Buffalo. God love them. I mean, they've gone through wide right. They've gone through 4 straight Super Bowl losses. They've gone through the skate in the crease game. They went through the fog games in the 70s.
And people always forget to mention one. And I love that you brought this up. The year after they had this, they got the no goal in Dallas.
Yep.
Right, so they lost the cup on the new goal. The year after that, they were playing the Flyers in the playoffs, and John LeClair scored through the net.
Through the net. I remember that.
And it took them 8, 9 minutes later to figure out on replay that it went through the net, and everyone went ballistic.
Well,
so Buffalo, I'm telling
you,
they've got a curse, and I hate it for them.
Yeah, I do, because you look at and I'm friends with a lot of Buffalo fans, and God love them. You ever want to have a good time, go see the Bills backers. You know, go to a place where the Bills backers are gathering. They are just a blast to watch a football game with, and they usually come in great numbers for the Buffalo for the Sabres here.
Yeah, so they're just a great sports fans, but this is the thing, right? So you've got a generational talent like Jack Eichel. When you draft in the top two of the draft, and especially at first overall, but remember, in his draft year, it was Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid. You're not getting drafted before Connor McDavid. So Jack Eichel was the consolation prize, and he's a pretty good consolation prize. This guy has 355 points in 375 career games. That's basically a point per game player. Man. He's 24 years old, right? He's not even in the prime of his career yet. And he's played six seasons in the NHL. He has given Buffalo pretty much everything that they could possibly ask of him as a point per game guy that they drafted high that's supposed to save their franchise. He can't do it himself, but that's where you start, right? You start. That's why everyone blasts Edmonton until recently, because they had three number one picks basically in a row, right? And they still didn't do anything with them. So you're right.
Man, Jack Ralph Eichel Kruger was there too.
Jack Eichel is a generational talent. And I do believe that if they can't fix the internal culture of the organization, then he's going to have to go somewhere else. And we're going to see him put up 90 points a season because he'll have the pressure off of him of having to be the guy.
To save the franchise. You're right.
Yes.
One other story I want to get with you is I know you've got a hockey game coming up and you need to get over. The Mighty Drunks are in action tonight over at Ford Ice Center. But the New York Rangers coaches are not available to the team tonight for their game against the Philadelphia Flyers because of COVID-19 protocols. Now, you've heard how goalie controversies get started. A goalie goes down, can't start a game. A goalie comes in, goes on a run. The Rangers are up 3-0 early in the second period right now. Coaches? Who needs coaches?
I remember Larry Robinson in the 90s. And I don't remember what year it was. I know he's the coach of the Devils. Mm-hmm. But Larry Robinson in the 90s, I cannot find this clip. I've tried, Paul, several times to make a visual example in a story I was writing on multiple occasions. But Larry Robinson said at the podium postgame, when the players realize they need coaches, we'll be a lot better. If they didn't need coaches, why do we have them? Is basically what he said. And it was so just slug in the face to his own team.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. So here we have. So now you have the Rangers trying to maybe do their best with just kind of playing. I don't really know. But at the same time, they've been coached. It's not like they have no coach. I mean, they've been coached
of course
the whole time. And,
they brought up the Hartford coaching staff and the associate GM is actually Chris. You know, the associate GM Chris Drury is assistant coaching tonight. It's almost
we need warm bodies. We need warm bodies standing behind us. If you guys could just go stand back.
It's almost
there.
Like they
should have had an auction.
They went to the Garden and said, "Okay, tonight's coach of the year is row 25."
That's right.
Jeremy, I know that you've got to get going to a game, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight as our special co-host, and we'll make sure it's done another 10, 12 years before you have you back on the show.
I would love that, Paul. I love you, man. I do miss seeing you a lot, and like I said, I really appreciate you having me on because it's a again, it's nice to be able to just keep my toe in, everyone. You know, you never know what might happen down the road. So I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate you having me there. Thank you so much.
All righty. Jeremy K. Gover, it's great to have him back in Smashville and, you know, keep an ear out on AP News Radio for his coverage of the NCAA regionals. And we are going to be right back right here on Slapshot Radio. Speaking of the AP, man, what a great AP beat writer. Teresa Walker going to join us to talk some Preds hockey and to talk some other things as well right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 1025, The Game. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Slapshot Radio, can't get jiggy with it on the wheels of steel. Paul McCann coming at you on Slapshot Radio. Brent and Zach have the night off, and I'm really excited. I've never had a TSWA Hall of Famer on my radio show. This is awesome. Teresa Walker from the AP joining us. Teresa, welcome to Slapshot Radio.
Well, hello, Paul. And yeah, I was beginning to wonder if you were ever going to ask. I mean, you know, I'm not somebody who's real picky. I talk to everybody, and you know, so I was so glad you finally asked.
I am getting my appropriate amount of grief, and I appreciate that. So, Teresa, we've been talking about this, for weeks now, and the first question I ask, every guest that covers this team or has the access to watch this team a lot of, what do you think the issues are here?
Well, I tell you, Paul, if I had that answer,
yeah,
I would
be behind the bench.
Exactly. I would have called David Poile, a couple of years ago and gotten these fixed. But I mean, it's been kind of the same issues now for a couple seasons, since the loss to the Winnipeg Jets in the second round, it's just been kind of the same thing, maybe did some guys get some long contracts and, maybe did they maybe just a little bit of that hunger, that drive, that's the thing, to keep improving, no matter the field, you have to keep working hard, because there's always somebody younger wanting your job. No, again, I say this because I can't tell you how many people I've asked, had asked me, when are you retiring? And it's like,
never,
I'm not.
Never.
Exactly. I kind of like my job. I've got a good one.
Yeah.
So, how much of it was that? We saw the same things happening, before they fired Peter Laviolette, after they hired John Hines, and it's tough to make changes midstream. And then when they did have the break, it's not like he could get them on the ice and work with them. So, we saw some of those same things. They play great for period. And this season, they were playing really great in the third period, but forgetting the game starts. And that, when you drop the puck in those first two periods. So it's been befuddling, honestly. And I will say this, though, the churn and the changes on their defensive core, Pekka Rinne isn't able to erase some of the mistakes that he did in his prime. And that maybe exposes a defense core that is not what it used to be. And they just haven't had the consistent offensive production. It's been absolutely bizarre to watch a team that was so good. They backed up their run to the Stanley Cup final, Paul, by getting and winning the President's Trophy the next season. That was good. But then from then on, it's just been slip slide since then.
Well, and it is funny because if you think back to that President's Trophy winning season, they didn't really have great special teams. Their penalty kill wasn't bad, but the power play really wasn't that good. It came and it rose up and bit them big time in that Winnipeg series. They weren't able to take advantage of the opportunities that were given to them. And I agree with that, but I guess my question to you, Teresa, do you think is this, it seems like we see this same thing playing out, basically for the third time in the last 7-8 years. That I just wonder, is this, do you think it's a culture issue? Is it a, because I truly believe that David Poile went out and got what I thought this team needed. It needed more grit. It needed more, a little more size. It needed a little more speed. They got those things. And sure, it takes a little while to put the chemistry together. But it's frustrating watching this team right now.
Well, and remember, there was a lot of changeover. He did change up some pieces of this roster. But because of COVID, it's not like these guys can go hang, go to dinner.
True.
And do some of the things off the ice that can help bring a team together. So you drop them in, and the way things occurred before naturally, it's just not happening now. So they're limited to practice time, maybe flight times, but because of protocols and everything, the Rangers coaching staff is all out right now. It's bizarre. So but that's the thing. It feels like David Poile is putting, okay, I need grit. I need this. I need speed. Because of all the injuries, we're seeing this, the youth movement that we thought we were going to get this season. We're seeing it on the ice as we speak. But it's just, it's pressing buttons and it's just not happening yet. It's tough to say, but the whole year of this past year of COVID, how could it have not had an occurrence? John Hines has had really no time to pull this. He can't take this team to a bowling alley or to a movie theater.
Right.
You know, and those guys can't go, you know, they can't go to, you know, I don't, you know, they can't go to a bar and drink after a road game, you know, or just do something on an off day. It's just,
they can't even hang out in each other's rooms.
Exactly. And we're seeing that with the NCAA tournament up in Indiana and Texas. So it's so all that kind of thing that can bring a team together, it just doesn't seem like it's happening. So you got to do it on the ice. And that means you're doing it, you know, remember Barry Trotz used to talk about that speeding train of the playoffs.
Right.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to create a team with an incredibly short preseason and on the fly during the season. And it's just not coming together.
And it is interesting because you look at the teams that were in that, you know, that didn't make a lot of changes, that didn't add a lot of players, that did. And again, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, you want to make the moves you need to make. I mean, that's not a criticism at all. But if you look at the ones that are really, really doing well, it's the ones that didn't have a lot of change in the offseason. They know each other. They know, you know, so chemically, it's been a difficult time with this team. And to your point, Teresa, you know, the coaching staff is sitting. I was kidding about this with Jeremy Gover earlier. But you know what? I think if I'm the New York Rangers, I'm not going to go ahead and hire any more coaches. They're up 6-0 right now, halfway through the second period. Who needs a coach?
Exactly. Why work with what's, you know, why mess with what's working? And then the last piece, Paul, is that the guys who should be carrying this team, Philip Forsberg's doing his job, yep. But Matt Duchene, Johansson, Arvidsson's trying, but you know, he almost seems snake bit. I mean, that shot in overtime the other night when it just goes across, straight across and nowhere near the inside of the net. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the guys that, you know, David Poile paid to come through, you know, for so many of them are struggling last season and it's gotten worse this season. So, you know, at a certain point they've got to step up and snap out of it.
Yeah. And especially you're correct. Now I might give a little bit of an exception to Ryan Johansson only because when you look at this team's record with Johansson on the ice versus without Johansson on the ice, it's night and day.
Very good.
And, you know, so, I mean, I'm going to give him that credit. I mean, I don't think, you know, yes, he's been a previous, you know, 20, 25 goal scorer. But again, he's the one C that can feed everybody. And, you know, and the finish has not been there. And I think, you know, you hear Terry Crisp talk about this all the time. You know, we'd like to see him be a little bit more selfish. Because as soon as Joey gets the puck, it's like everybody falls over to Forsberg, falls over to Arvidsson, or falls over to Tolvanen, because you know they know a pass is coming. And at this point, it's time for him to change up his game and fire off a couple of shots and put a question in that defense's mind.
Absolutely, because the instant he starts shooting the puck more at the net, those guys are going to peel off, and then suddenly he'll have more open guys to pass to. Yep. But he has to start shooting. He has to start trying to score because that's also what's expected of him. He can really dish the puck off well, but he has to score. And, you know, if he starts doing that, guess what? That might take some of the pressure off of an Arvidsson and get him going. And, you know, that yep. – And that's part of the issue that's just been missing.
No question. And Teresa, I've got about a minute left. Which one of the kids is really impressing you right now? The younger players that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 games.
I'm going to say Tolvanen because I was in Korea when he played in the Olympics. I've been expecting him to do this ever since I saw him there. And I was a little surprised that he took such a step back and seemed to be, you know, and it's, you do want him to work on the other aspects of his game. But he is an offensively gifted kid, and he is just fun to watch, particularly when he gets the puck near the faceoff dot in that left circle. Boy, fun.
She is a member of the 2020 class of the Tennessee Sports Writers Hall of Fame, and she's also a multiple Sports Writer of the Year winner. I'm telling you, I'm so happy to have you on, Teresa. We're going to do it again real soon. Teresa Walker, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Teresa Walker from the AP. You can read her stuff on AP.com. Really, really great coverage of everything she talks about. And guess what? That's it for tonight's Slapshot Radio. We're back next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Penalty Box Radio's up next. I got a big thank you to our special guest host, Jeremy K. Gover, and our guests, Greg Wojcinski and Teresa Walker. And, of course, big thank yous to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs. I'm telling you, best prices on wines and spirits in Middle Tennessee. And of course, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations with furniture in stock and ready for immediate delivery. And of course, our good friend Carter Church. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, the one and only Kenny, our co-hosts who happen to be off tonight, Brent and Zach, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.